Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for His grace that has empowered us to be on this line again tonight. And we thank God for His mercy that has qualified us to stand before His presence by the blood of the Lamb. Again, thank you all so much. I'm always excited and encouraged to know that there are people who are truly standing on the watch over the purposes of God in our nation and all across the nation. So we give God glory. Let's continue to pray for one another. It's not an easy thing to sustain such an altar of prayer just 24/7. That's a miracle. And therefore, as busy as most of you are, committed to your jobs, committed to your ministries, committed to the different areas you serve, but you still make room to sustain prayer and for us to learn together in what God is saying. God will continue to strengthen you and replenish everything that you give out in greater measures. So thank you all so much. We're excited. Most of our, I guess all of our Willing Women family that traveled are all back so safely, and we are very excited about that. Thank you. Continue to remember the ASLP and leaders in prayer. We're going to be having a conference call this coming Tuesday to discuss a few things things pertaining to the direction God will be giving us to partner with other people in the nation in the area of prayer directly, the way it affects the climate where we are being confronted with in this place. Tonight, we'll just continue as the Spirit of God helps us to and encourages us to understand just the seasons of prayer, the seasons of expectations, and the seasons of our harvest. I pray that the word tonight will encourage you, but really, one of the purposes I believe that this might serve tonight is to just begin to prepare your heart. Next Wednesday, I want to encourage you to be on the line because we're going to be sharing. After we've discussed with the leaders and Sister Billy and most other people, we are going to be sharing a strategy next Wednesday and possibly the Wednesday after that will be activated towards the climate in the nation and towards the expectation we have for the season. So this might serve as kind of a preparatory, a groundwork in our hearts, and also an inspiration, an encouragement in understanding that our labor is not in vain. So, fathers, I thank you for tonight, and to you we give thanks and we give glory. We yield absolutely to your spirit, for we can not even say one good thing without your help. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for equipping us, O God, and empowering us. As we watch, as we wait, as we seek your face, Father, we just pray for clarity, understanding, that we might be strengthened and effective and fervent, because we know that you are a rewarder of those who seek you. You are a rewarder of those who look up to you. So we thank you tonight for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a scripture I'm going to read here in the book of Isaiah. But before I read that scripture, I just want to quickly bring to your attention related scriptures to what we are about to learn together. There is a law. You know, every government, wherever there is a government, there has to be a law. Wherever there is a community, a city, wherever there's a nation, there has to be a law. Wherever there's a kingdom, There are laws that govern different aspects. But also the kingdom of God has laws. We have there are spiritual laws, the laws of the spirit of life, the laws of the sin of sin and death. They are spiritual laws. But it's a law that governs a lot of the things of the kingdom of God. And that same law is also applied even in the physical world. And it governs the nature, the natural components of what God has created. But this law is more spiritually powerful. But because most times people don't always relate physical things to spiritual things, sometimes we become weary in applying this principle in spiritual things. So I'm going to be sharing up this law as it regards to physical things, like we always do, so that we can have a good understanding of the spiritual side when we look at it tonight as we are looking into the season. So this law is called the law of sowing and reaping. And all the way from the garden to the book of Revelations, you will see it all across the border. But in Galatians, Paul says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6. He says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. Say, be not weary in well doing, for in due season, in the appointed season, you will reap if you faint not. There is always a harvest. So it's the law of sowing and reaping. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to every purpose under heaven, there is a time and there is a season connected to the timing. There is a time to sow and there's a time to reap. Amen. And we see this principle of sowing and reaping all through the New Testament and through the Old Testament. And wherever there is this law operates, the law also governs other areas, other aspects of life. For example, the law of sowing and reaping also determines the seasons of rain. Because of the time of sowing, you have to really sow before the rain and both before the early and the latter rain. So the early and the latter rain are also governed by the principles of the time of sowing and reaping in the natural. So in the things of God, once we understand this law, it changes everything. You know, to show you again this principle, you take a corn and you put it in the ground. One seed of corn is not going to produce an apple. That's how powerful this is. So simple, it's clear. If you put a seed in the ground, a corn is not going to produce an apple or an orange. It will produce after its kind. It is very simple. It will produce a corn of wheat. So, and another thing about the law of sowing and reaping, what you sow in the ground is you're going to reap corn, but you're going to reap a fresh corn. And you're not just going to reap one seed, you're going to reap a whole head of corn. You're going to reap a whole tree. You sow one seed of orange, you're going to reap a whole tree that has the capacity to have so many hundreds of oranges that will multiply at different seasons. So it's a principle and it's a law that governs everything. Now, there are two aspects of this law that governs nature I want to share with you. And then once we understand that, we can now see the spiritual component of this law and how it works in a prophetic sense and how to have expectations when the seasons come. The law of sowing and reaping for farmers in the area of farmers is very simple. Jesus used that a lot so that the people can relate to the things of the kingdom. Every time he gives a parable, he says, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like that. Always relating to sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and harvest. So, in the area of the law of sowing and reaping, as far as crops and things, we are talking about bringing the understanding that a farmer has. The life of a farmer in the area of sowing, the farmer has a mindset. One, he does not put something in the ground that is not expecting to see the fruit. The farmer also knows that when I plant, I have to have a season of tilling the ground and then putting the soil, the seed in the ground before the rain, you know. And then I have to wait. A farmer does not plant today and reap tomorrow. The farmer waits and waits and waits. So this crop that is sown on the ground, like Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he sleeps day and night. He does not even understand the mystery, but then the thing starts producing his different components, different aspects until the fruit is ripe on that particular tree. The farmer waits patiently. And at the earlier season of the farmer's sowing, the farmer still has to tender, still has to take away the weeds and water the place. And eventually, this thing takes time, and then it begins to grow into a tree or a little shrub. And then later, you begin to see the fruit. But the fruit just comes out at little buds on it, and then later the fruit begins to grow. And then before the fruit turns ripe, that farmer, when he sees that the fruit is now ripe, the farmer begins to harvest. So the farmer knows sowing time, seed time, and he knows in the physical realm harvest time, and they plan within that season. So in the natural, it's very simple. It doesn't require faith. So because natural relates to the natural, it doesn't require faith, but it's a simple principle. It's a law. And the farmer does it with full confidence because it's the law of nature. You will reap what you sow. Now, there's another component of the law of sowing and reaping. And it's the law of sowing and reaping is also the law of multiplication. In the area of farming, we see that whatever you sow multiplies. Then in the area of, that's farming. But there's an area that God also established and the law of multiplication. That is the multiplication of man. You know, God, when God planted Adam and Eve, he told them, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, fill the whole earth. Two people started a journey, and today we have billions of people in the earth. That's his spiritual law. So, how these two laws of sowing and reaping is also governed by time and seasons. If we can understand that every purpose under heaven is governed by time and season, it makes it easier for us as intercessors. And also, David, because he's a mighty intercessor, God had to teach him. And that's why it says in Psalms that he that sows in tears will also reap in joy. He that goes about carrying precious seeds, that seeds of sowing, will come back again with baskets of harvest. You know, so we're talking about seasons now. Now, this other aspect of the multiplication of man, the law of seed time and harvest time, we see it in also the principle of season. A woman that is married or a woman that gets pregnant cannot, the day she gets pregnant, cannot give birth the next week or the next month. We see again the mystery of timing, the process of waiting. So why do we wait? Why will a farmer put a seed in the ground and wait? Why will a woman become pregnant and wait? These things were used by the Lord to comfort me when I did not understand a lot of these principles. I just pray. You know, sometimes you feel like you're beating in the air. You're just fighting. You're just praying. You're doing all these things. But the principles I did not understand. So it was very hard when you don't see things you're expecting at certain times, or you just begin to waver. So, but understanding these principles that this law is infallible. It's unbreakable, spiritual and natural law. And then tying seasons to it will make us more effective and more inspired. So in the area of the woman being pregnant, we know that by nature, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in America, you cannot bypass the nature, the principle of timing. It's still the same 40 weeks. It's still the same 9 months. That's the average. There can be some people that give birth earlier. Some people give a little bit later. But that is the borderline. It is the law of nature. Anywhere a woman is pregnant, it can go, it's 9 months. The same thing, when you plant, no matter the weather patterns, the same season that tomatoes take to grow here is when it wants to grow in another state. You know, the same crop, that season, that's how long they will take to produce their fruit after they've been sown. So it's such a simple, sound principle. Now, when a woman is pregnant, I used to struggle until God showed me this. He says, the woman doesn't have to do anything but just eat and drink. Just eat and drink. The farmer puts a seed in the ground. He doesn't have to do anything but just water the seed and clear the, just remove the weeds when they come. Just water, and then he says sleep and it grows. So God is saying, through this principle, the farmer has his own work to do. Nature has his own work to do. The farmer does his own work and go rest. And nature does the rest. It's a mystery. A woman becomes pregnant. She eats and drinks. She doesn't have to worry what is going on in the inside of the belly. The child just experiences nature. And at 9 months, that child is mature to come out. So God is saying, man, we have our part. God has his part. Once we do our part, we must have the faith to believe that God's part is infallible. It's a principle. So if we know our part, do it well, then we leave the rest to God. That's faith. Now, understanding this whole foundation of this principle with what I've given you, the whole point is that it governs seasons. So for that reason, God, as he started working with the children of Israel, they understood these principles and these laws. So God had to attach spiritual season to physical seasons of sowing and reaping in the life of Israel. And what he was trying to point to them was, if they understand the physical seasons as God set it for them, those physical seasons will later be an arrow or a sign that points them to spiritual seasons. So God established 7 specific seasons in the relationship physically with Israel. And these seasons, after they came out of Egypt, has already manifested spiritual things. So God gave it to Moses on the mountain. And these seasons are referred to in the Bible as the Feast of the Lord. And God calls it my appointed seasons. But these seasons are also called harvest seasons. They are all attached to the harvest, times of sowing and reaping in the life of the children of the physical Israel. But just to fast forward quickly, you will see that the very season the children of Israel came out of Egypt, which God calls to them, he called it the season of the Passover or leavened bread, and is attached to the time of the early rain and early harvest, when they are just beginning to take crops from the ground. Just they are beginning to reap crops from the ground, first fruits from the ground. God attached that season of first farmer's first fruit to that Passover season, and that's when they came out of Egypt. And also, that is the season of harvest that Jesus died on the cross and became the first fruits. So you can see how God tied agricultural season of sowing and reaping to Israel's relationship with God in the physical and how eventually it pointed to the coming of Christ relating to the church, to spiritual things. So that's just a picture of how God uses physical season to reveal a prophetic season using the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I want to read a scripture to you, and I want to use this scripture to speak prophetically to the season that we are approaching. And next week and next 2 weeks, we can lay out a strategy on how we benefit from understanding these seasons and what we do to be able to receive things during the season. I want to read to you Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 says, this is amazing. It says, "Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child." You know, say, "Cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife," says the Lord. That is strange. Verse 2 says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." Then verse 3 says, the reason he was releasing this prophecy then is for verse 3 says, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." This is amazing. Now, a barren woman is a woman that cannot have children, cannot bear. A barren woman is a woman that cannot have children. So, or has not had children. But here the prophet is telling the woman, this scene into the spirit, he's saying, "Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have never travailed, you've never given birth, you've not gone through birth pains before, because you've not carried a child before." He said, "But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have more children than the children of those that are married." He says, let me go further. "Enlarge your tents." Enlarge your tents and stretch out your curtains. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Because you are about to break forth, and something's about to happen to you, and your children will be everywhere. You're going to have children, and you that thought you were desolate, you didn't have anything, you're going to be filled with children. That's amazing prophetic word. But this is a clear revelation of the law of sowing and reaping, and prophetic understanding. Now, a barren woman is a woman that could not give child. But here, the word of the Lord is coming, and the word of the Lord is speaking to the barrenness. And the word of the Lord is speaking to something that is physically barren, and the word of the Lord is alive, and is speaking into something that is physical, and that word is saying, this is what is going to happen to you. You are going to have a child. You are going to have children. You are going to have so much children that it will be more than the children of the physical. And enlarge your tent. This is going to happen to you. You're going to break out. Wow. How can a barren woman sing? How can a barren woman rejoice? Because she's under reproach. But the word of the Lord says, do it. So what is happening here? My brothers and sisters, there is what you call physical barrenness. But there is also what you call spiritual barrenness. Physical barrenness, as we know, is when a woman doesn't have the ability to receive something that is sowed into it and cannot produce, and it remains barren. Physical barrenness does not produce children. But when you are not barren, a woman that is not barren physically gives birth, and she will give birth to a child, and then get pregnant again, give birth to another child, and then just one, two, just count it that way. But here, the prophet, the word of the Lord, is saying to somebody that can't even give birth, you're going to have more children than even that person who has been giving birth. So, let me use the physical barrenness for us to understand spiritual barrenness. In the physical, when people are barren, it brings reproach. It brings reproach. It's a dry place. It's a desert place. It's a place of unfruitfulness. So that's physical. That's physical barrenness. It brings reproach. But the prophetic word that is coming right now to all of us is a revelation. When the prophet was speaking to the physical barrenness, he's saying, your barrenness has, you're not barren, you are a visionary. You carry a vision. And there is a vision over your life. There is a prophetic seed. There's a prophetic word over you. So you're not barren. So now that your season has come, the prophet said, now that your season has come, I'm speaking into your life, and I'm calling forth the prophetic word, the thing that is over you, to come forth. And this is what's going to happen. A supernatural thing is going to happen to you, and you're going to break forth. So you have to walk by faith. You have to receive this by faith, and you're going to step out by faith, and you're going to build a place for your child. You're going to prepare for it, and because it's going to happen. In the physical, when people are pregnant, you don't have to tell them. They don't need faith. They go get a crib. They go buy diapers. They buy baby things. They prepare. They have everything ready. Naturally, a person that is pregnant does that. It doesn't require faith. But this prophecy is saying, sing, do these things that even a married person will not even want to do. You're asking a barren woman to do it. So what does God mean by this prophecy, both in the physical and in the spiritual? Let me start with the physical. What he's saying here, let me use two people as an example. There was a man that God spoke into his life. His name is Abraham. God spoke vision into Abraham's life. God spoke destiny. God spoke fruitfulness. God spoke future into Abraham. You will produce fruit. You will be the out of your seed. Nations, kingdoms will be born. God spoke it. But as God spoke it, after a few years, it became evident that Sarah was barren. And so in the physical, when the natural people looks at Sarah, they will say, she's barren. Sarah will look at herself, say, she's barren. Abraham will look at Sarah in the physical, say, she's barren. But God looks at Abraham and Sarah and says, you're fruitful. You are carrying nations. You are going to lengthen your cords. Things are going to break forth. For example, he took Abraham outside and said, look at the stars, look at the sand, your seed will look like that. But then they still notice that Sarah keep getting barren, and the barrenness went to the point, the word was used, her womb was dead. Meaning, she went beyond barrenness to the point where there was no more expectation for her womb to give birth. It was dead. So at that point, you can't expect a barren woman to sing now that even the womb is dead. That's when finally God encountered Abraham and said, Abraham, now you're going to have seed. Abraham said, but it can't be by Sarah. Sarah's womb is even dead. He says, it's going to be Sarah. And that very season, the angels came and says, Sarah, by this time, by this appointed time, you're going to have the seed. You're going to have children. And Sarah was laughing, but it came to pass. So, when God speaks a word, when God gives a word, that word has is sown like a seed. And it's like you plant a seed in the ground. It's sown like a seed. That seed needs time for it to manifest or to be programmed to come to a place of maturity. And when that seed comes to a place of maturity, that's when you can harvest it. So many times in the things of prophecy or what God is doing with me personally or corporately or the church, I used to get confused. And then God started using the pregnant woman to give me understanding of this thing. He says, when I give you a word or when I speak to you, every word has a season. He says, like the pregnant woman, when she's physically pregnant, that child begins to grow in her womb. The woman doesn't see it, but that child begins to form so that that child can become, when it manifests, it can be exactly what God said it will be. But you don't see the child. The physical mom, because it's physical, touches the child, feels it, she's happy, she knows the child is coming, so she waits. But God said, in the things of the spirit, because we don't touch it, we don't feel it, we don't see it, we don't know that what God has spoken needs maturity time. God is working things out in the spirit. God is putting things together like a physical pregnant woman child is forming, is growing, and getting ready to manifest his fruit. So God says, what I spoke to you, you're praying, you're watering it, you're waiting. He says, give it time. That thing, when it comes to pass, is going to manifest his fruits. And his fruit is going to be glorious. So he says, don't faint or be weary because your due season will come. So with that understanding, I started realizing that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things you don't see with your eyes. But it's a substance to it. But the substance is the thing is forming and taking shape for whatever God has in mind to manifest in the physical realm. And it's happening. So the only way you can spiritually carry a prophetic word or carry a promise or pray with faith is that you have to walk by faith. Just like a pregnant woman carries a word in her womb, a seed, you have to carry promises and prayers by faith, knowing that the appointed time, that thing you committed to God or God has committed to you will come to maturity. It must happen. It's a spiritual law. So, that's in the area of prophecy, God puts it this way to Habakkuk. He said, write the vision down. For the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarries, though it has a waiting period, he said, wait for it, because at the point the vision will not tarry, it will speak, it will manifest. So that is still this same mystery of waiting when you plant something in the ground or waiting when a woman is pregnant. Something is being put together. But the way in the things of the spirit, you don't see it. But in the heavens, things are being put together. Over the climate. So in the area of this barren woman, here's how God started showing it to me. Especially when it relates to intercessors. We just talked about Abraham in the physical. Now let's look at another man in the physical. His name is Zechariah. Zechariah was a man of prayer. He was an intercessor. He served God with prayer day and night. What is giving birth to a child? But that's the only thing he could not even get. He prays for everybody. They have children. He's been praying. But Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, was barren. She could not produce a child. So Zechariah did not know that prophetically, Because God has found him righteous, God has found him faithful, God has ordained for Zechariah to manifest the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah 40 and various places, there's a forerunner that will come before Jesus. There's a voice that will cry in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is something God spoke before time. But God has to have somebody he can trust to bring this thing forth through. So, Zacharias was selected for it because he found faithful. But for that to come to pass, the wife's womb was barren. So, here's the prophetic word. If you go to Elizabeth and say, Elizabeth, sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. Break forth with singing, Elizabeth. You might not have had a child, but rejoice because you're going to have one of the greatest child in the world. A child that God has appointed before time. This child will prepare the way for the Messiah. I mean, you start saying this, Elizabeth, you think you're crazy. Zechariah, you think you're crazy. But that's what this prophecy was saying. That barrenness, sometimes dryness, is not what people see it always in the physical, especially when it relates to spiritual things. Now, another way to look at barrenness, you say what happened to Zechariah. Zechariah's, Elizabeth's dead womb produced John the Baptist, a prophetic word, a prophetic seed. She was really pregnant with prophecy, thinking that she was barren. Sarah was pregnant with nations, thinking that she was barren. And that's why this other aspect, before we now start roaming up with the spiritual company, whenever you see God wants to use great people or use people in very great ways, for example, Moses, he took him out of Egypt and put him in a barren land. In other words, in a wilderness, a place where God has to create a new wineskin for him. And so he went to a barren land. He went to a wilderness. That's where Moses, it was like Moses was spiritually, was material, everything barren. And it was through that barrenness, Moses had a new wineskin, had a relationship with God, had a connection with God, that eventually, after that barrenness, it's like Moses died. He said, I can't speak anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. It is in that old wineskin dying that he did not know that through the death of the old wineskin, God has prepared a new wineskin that has the capacity to carry the vision of God to Egypt. It was through the death of Sarah's womb. Sarah did not know God has prepared a wineskin that can bring forth the seed of promise. It was through the deadness of Elizabeth's wise old physical wineskin that God was able to prepare a spiritual wineskin that brought forth John the Baptist. So sometimes, without understanding a prophetic atmosphere, we can speak like natural people. We can see a prophetic future and we call it dead or we call it barren without understanding. So now, Isaiah 54 is speaking about go lengthen your cords, go do this, go do all that, because something is about to break forth. You that was desolate, you're going to see great harvest. What does that mean? In the spiritual, let me quickly take it one aspect of the spiritual. There are what they call spiritual barrenness and also spiritual barrenness. Spiritual barrenness is like churches that are, I'm not talking about churches that are not, you know, praying or serving God, but churches that are not operating with a vision. Churches that don't have, they've not sought God or waited on God or sought the face of God to receive seed from heaven, to receive a purpose-driven vision from heaven, a cause, a reason for that church or for that ministry or that calling. Whenever people don't have that, what happens is that they begin, which is not, there's nothing wrong with a married woman having one child, having, that's married. So they are married, but they produce one child. You know, they can measure the size of their church. So our church grows by 2 members every week or every year. You know, our church grows, you know, maybe in 10 years, we're going to be 200 people or 500 people. They calculate it, they measure it, they work towards it, they plan all the programs, they do everything, they target it, and it happens. But maybe after 20, 50 years, 10 years, they end up with 500 members or 1,000 members. But they plan it very well, it works. That is like a married person doing the natural plan and having natural results. But that, in a way, brings what they call spiritual barrenness sometimes. But spiritual fruitfulness, which is the opposite of physical barrenness, spiritual fruitfulness is when you receive a seed from heaven. That word seed is you receive a vision from heaven. Or like Jesus was a seed from heaven. The incorruptible was a vision from heaven. When that vision was sown on the ground, it produced like-minded, you know, Christ-like nature. So when you receive a vision from heaven or a seed from heaven, that seed, there is nothing you can do to physically make it happen. All you can do is wait on the Lord in prayer, water that seed in prayer, and seek the Lord, wait, and then God gives you direction. There is nothing you can do to make the visions of God manifest before time in the things of the Spirit. Abraham tried it and ended up with Ishmael. Joseph could do nothing about it. Moses could not come out of that wilderness on his own. David could not do anything after oil was put on his head. You just have to give yourself to the Lord. Prepare, stay in prayer. You, like Habakkuk said, you wait upon the Lord. You pray, you water it. God gives you a word, you do this, you do that. But you can't plan it, you can't program it, you can't do anything. There's nothing wrong with people that plan children. There's nothing wrong with people that plan church. But I'm talking about spiritual harvest. So, in the things of the Spirit, God gives that kind of vision or dream for people to expect. When you carry that kind of vision, you will become physically barren. You will look like you're physically barren. You will look like in the physical, nothing is happening. In the physical, it looks like you're in the dry place. In the physical, like David, you look at people, they are getting children. David says, when I looked at I see that everybody is prospering. The ways of the wicked, whatever they want, they get. You know, they look for a job, they get it. They look for this, they get it. They look for that. But the people that are spiritually pregnant, physically, they look like they are barren. And that's what happened to Sarah. That's what happened to David. David looks like he goes from one problem to the other immediately after the oil of destiny was poured upon him. Joseph was a very wonderful boy, enjoying life like everybody else. But the moment the oil of destiny hit his head with a vision, the moment he physically started looking like something was wrong with his life. From one trouble to the other, from one accusation to the other. But he was watering this thing in the Spirit. He was waiting upon the Lord. So many times when you see intercessors, believers that like Zechariah, the Bible says they were righteous people. It made it clear so people will not think it's because Zechariah was insane or doing something bad that was barren. When you see intercessors, you see men and women of God who are serving and focusing and doing the things of God. But sometimes they are always dealing with one thing or the other. My brother, the Bible is even clear. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them. It's a time of preparation. Though the outward man is perishing, but God is doing something on the inside. God is preparing a wineskin. God is preparing the capacity for you to handle a greater harvest, a greater manifestation of what God wants to do. So, in the physical, some of you have been sowing. Some of you have been praying. You've been praying. You've been sowing. You've been waiting. You've been seeking God. And some of you have dreams. You've had visions. But sometimes when we look at it, in the physical, it looks like we're desolate. It looks like we're in a dry place. It looks like we're barren. So many times we agree with the physical world, or we agree with what people see us, or sometimes how you feel. You say, oh, this is really my condition. This is really my situation. This is really the situation of the nation. This is the condition. This is that, this is that, this is that. But today, as we prepare towards a prophetic activation of something we're going to be learning next week and next 2 weeks, I want you to know that though America looks desolate, though some of your expectations look desolate, though you look like you're barren, which you say, my God, how could we have been praying this much, waiting this much, and it looks like all we see is desolate, all we see is barrenness, all we see is like there's really no fruit to this thing. I want you to know, like a pregnant woman in the physical, they don't need faith to know that the child is growing and they have to wait until it's matured. So in the things of the spirit, God is saying through Isaiah here, sing, O barren. If you only see what I see, you will sing. O desolate, if you see what is about to happen, you will sing. Because something is about to happen that you couldn't see in the spirit that God has prepared. It's about to break forth. And when it breaks forth, like Pentecost, people are trying to get people saved. They are struggling, but on one day, 3,000 people came to God. The next few weeks, 5,000 people. Before they knew it, the whole world was receiving the gospel of Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all that dwell therein. God is too big. God is too wise for a created being like Satan to mislead the whole world to hell. God has a plan. He has fulfilled that plan through Christ and redeemed generations. Even went to hell and emptied some people out of hell and took them to heaven. It was a plan. Even now, God has a plan for our generation. It might look like the enemy has made America desolate. The church is desolate. It looks like we're barren. We're going from church to church. There's really no increase because the souls we're looking at, it says the souls are hidden, they are lost. But here is the scripture. Verse 3 says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand, on the left, and the seed, you, shall begin to inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. What does that mean? Psalms chapter 2 say, pray for the Gentiles, pray for the nations, for these people are our inheritance. Now here in chapter Isaiah 54, it says, how is your house going to be full? How is the church going to be full? How is everybody know that what God has sown, what people have been praying will come to pass? He says, listen, this nation you see, these people that look like they are lost, these Gentiles, these heathens, because of your prayer, God is already prepared them to be your inheritance. As God begins to break forth, as God begins to move, all of a sudden, you see them in their thousands coming to you, coming to your house, coming to you, and begin to respond to be saved and become the children of God. He said the seed will inherit the Gentiles. And Psalms 2 says, ask for your inheritance. The nations have been given to you. So that's what we're praying for. We're praying for America. We're praying for our children. We're praying for many things. How can we forget that God says what we are sowing, we should be patient, because when the harvest comes, it's going to be supernatural. So I want to declare to you, you're not barren. I want to say America is not barren. I want to say your cities are not barren. God has heard our prayers. And very soon, by next week and next 2 weeks, we're going to develop a strategy to make us begin to expect the season of harvest. It's going to take God's part to bring the harvest in. We have done our part. The part of God is to bring rain, is to bring His spirit, is to bring His power. And I'm telling you, a nation can be saved at once, as soon as Zion begins to experience their harvest season, a time of travail. Father, I thank you for spiritual understanding. I thank you because a physical farmer knows his time. He knows when to sow and never doubts that he will see a harvest. A woman pregnant does not question the waiting process. It's worth it because he knows without a doubt a beautiful child is coming. So, Father, thank you that the promise you gave to Abraham, you brought it to pass in season. You even gave them the land, even when giants were sitting on it, because it was harvest time. Thank you that the mountains you put on men and women, when the season came, you moved, and the supernatural overthrew the natural. Father, we look in the natural, and many people are giving up and looking at this season as a desolate time, a desert time, a time where it looks like darkness has taken over a nation. But I thank you because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things you are about to do as you rend the heavens and rescue this heart and do a work that has never been known, because you're responding to the prayers of the people that have waited diligently on you. Father, let the reward of your people be souls, and let the reward be your glory. Let every prayer they prayed, let the tears of joy eventually be the cry we're going to have in the next few months, because you are faithful. Those who sow in tears will also come rejoicing with tears of harvest. We give you all the glory that our prayers and our labor can never be in vain, because you are a rewarder. In Jesus' name, amen.